Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillments of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. Now, we're all home folk, and we're all just family of God. But all together, we'll all be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It's our continued prayer that you are blessed of God, and you may be blessed by these services. Now here's the message on Hope for the Hopeless from the Haven of Hope Church.
Deuteronomy 3:21, and it says, "And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, Thine eyes have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these two kings. So shall the Lord do unto all the kingdoms where thou passest. You shall not fear them, for the Lord your God shall fight for you. And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might?" Then 1 Peter 5:6 says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God." Y'all beginning to catch a clue? "That he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resisteth steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." And then Joshua 4:24. "That all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." Come on, somebody. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Would you stretch your hands this way and pray for me tonight? My most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, I praise and magnify your name for your anointing upon the service this morning. And I seek tonight, dear God, an additional unction and an additional, dear God, anointing being placed upon me to bring forth the word. Lord, I love you and I love this work. I love being the man that you speak through. And I ask, dear God, that you would continue to do so all the days of my life. Help me, dear God, to be your servant and to be your vessel and to be obedient and to your leading and your spirit. Anoint me tonight, dear God, that I might bring forth this word in a way that would magnify and uplift and glorify the name of your Son, Jesus, in heaven. And it might bring glory into the throne room of God. And let it go up into your ears, dear God, as a pleasing sound. And Father, let this word go forth under your anointing, that it might reach those under the sound of my voice, and their souls might be nourished by this word. And their lives changed, and their hearts strengthened. In the blessed and holy and righteous name of Jesus, I thank you and pray. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated. Now, in one of these passages, Peter was speaking, the Apostle Peter, and he was coming to the believers, and he was trying to say to the believers, you need to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now, if I could go ahead and give you a name for this message tonight, it is the mighty hand of the Lord. Hallelujah. It was his way, Peter's way, of telling them that we don't need to be forgetting who it was that we were back in the Old Testament. We don't need to be forgetting who it is that brought us up and brought us out. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
We don't need to be forgetting just who it is that's always had our back. We don't be forgetting just who it is that's always fought for us. We need to remember that God is God. We need to remember that God is mighty and there's a mighty hand of the Lord that is at work on our behalf. Remember that when you were backed against the Red Sea, when you had been delivered by Moses out of the slavery and out of Egypt, that when you left Egypt, the Pharaoh got angry and sent his armies against you, and you were trapped between Pharaoh's armies and the Red Sea. It was the mighty hand of God that came down and put the pillar of fire between you to protect you, and it was the mighty hand of God that parted the Red Sea and made it dry land. I'm going to tell you something, saints. It's one thing for the wind to blow hard enough to make the water part. That's one thing. But you can't sit there and blame it on a tornado or on a hurricane or a typhoon.
All right. Come on then.
When the ground they walked on wasn't muddy. You can't blame it on a freak of nature when the drops of water disappeared from between the grains of sand and the children of Israel, as the word of God says, they walked across on dry land. You tell you how you can, I want you to relate that to. You can relate that to the mighty hand of God. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. It was the mighty hand of God that parted the Red Sea. When the children of Israel were coming into the promised land, and the Lord said, everywhere that you put your foot, I'm going to give you that land. And the people of Jericho were sitting right smack dab on their promised land. God done said, it belongs to you. Go take it. But Jericho was a fortified city. It was the most fortified city in the world at that time. The walls were so powerful and so strong. The thing of it is, no weapon, no army had ever penetrated the walls of Jericho. The walls of Jericho were so wide. There were city streets on the walls, on the tops of the walls, and houses on both sides. I have seen pictures of how it used to be. Houses on both sides and a street down the middle. Now that's a big wall. Ain't no wonder the armies of that day, they didn't have no weapon that could penetrate that wall.
That's right.
But they were sitting right there in the right in front and right between the children of Israel and their victory that God had promised them.
Uh-huh.
Come on now.
Yeah, praise God.
But God had told them, go and take it.
Yeah.
And can you imagine being one of them? Now, thinking about who these people were. These people were the same ones that griped and complained when they were delivered out of Egypt. They were standing at the Red Sea, and God parted the waters. These are the same ones that walked in the wilderness for 40 years and didn't have time to stay anywhere to grow nothing to eat.
All right.
And God made angelic food, manna, appear for them. And when they griped and moaned and complained about not having meat to go with their bread, God sent them quail every day. They didn't even have to go hunt. All they had to do was go out there and lean over and pick it up. Come on. And then they got to moaning and griping about not having no water. And the mighty hand of God came and provided in the wilderness at Horeb. Come on now. When God told Moses to talk to that rock, and that rock spewed forth water. Now Moses, he was disobedient. Moses got mad at the children because he got mad at the children of Israel because they were mouthy and they were spoiled. And instead of speaking to that rock, he hit it with his stick. But the same thing happened. Water spewed out of that rock. We're talking about 3 million Hebrews.
Yes.
Enough water flowed out of that rock for 3 million Hebrews and their livestock and their cattle and their horses and their camels. And it won't, look now, when we're talking about the mighty hand of God, he don't do nothing halfway. When the mighty hand of God moved upon that instance, when the children of Israel moved, my Bible tells me that that rock moved and followed them. Can you imagine the ditch that that thing left in the ground as it being dragged? A big giant boulder.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
It was not some happenstance. It was not some freak of nature. That rock wasn't sitting on top of some artesian well, some spring. The water was flowing out of the rock.
Yes.
And the rock walked with them. Come on, somebody. It was the mighty hand of God that came down and covered and protected the children of Israel. Time and time and time again, when Paul and Silas were arrested, they were arrested for casting a demon out of a demon-possessed woman who was making money for her owners. And when they cast the demon out, she couldn't divine how to make that money no more. And her masters got mad and had Paul and Silas locked up in prison. And that prison that they were locked up in, the prisons they had back in those days, they didn't have big walls and gates and prison bars and all that. They had a hole dug deep in the ground with tunnels and caverns. That's what the prisons were in those days. There was no way out. They were in stone wall, stone rock prisons. And it was so dark in the middle of that prison. They took Paul and Silas because they had stopped that woman from making money for those men. The men got so mad that they had to be men of influence. Y'all don't think people of influence have anything to do with government, do you?
No, of course not.
But these men of influence, they spoke to the prisoners, to the prison. They had Paul and Silas beat with a whip across their backs. And then they put them in stocks. You know what stocks are? Stocks are blocks of wood with holes in them. You lay your feet in the one trench, and the other block of wood comes, sits down on top of it, and they lock it, and you can't pull your feet out. Then they set another one on top of that. You put your hands in it. And then they put another one on top of that and lock your hands in, and you can't move. You can't scratch your nose. You can't touch your face. You can't do nothing. And they were sitting there in that prison. Now, in the center of that prison, it was so pitch black, you couldn't see your hand this close in front of your face. And they sat there in that prison with their backs ripped open. And in that prison, all the other prisoners were in there. They could hear them. And they knew what had happened to them. And they were just thinking, these guys have got to be miserable. Their backs are flayed open and they're just bleeding and whelps and ripped open. And they've got to be in misery and in pain. But do you know what Paul and Silas were doing? They were thinking about the mighty hand of God. Yes, they were thinking about the great God Almighty. They were thinking, when they started thinking about the mighty hand of God and started thinking about the great God Almighty, they started praising them in their hearts. And you want to tell you something, saints, it ain't long after you start praising God in your heart that you start praising Him out of your mouth. And can you imagine being there in that condition, locked up in the pitch black, your feet and your hands in the stocks and your backs flayed open in pain and agony, and you start singing, come on. You start singing praises unto God, lifting Him up and magnifying Him. Let me tell you what happens when you praise God in the middle of your turmoil. The mighty hand of God comes and makes things happen. Because in the middle of their praises, in the middle of their singing, an earthquake took place and rattled the very depths and the very core of that prison. The prison doors shook loose and fell open. The stocks broke open and Paul and Silas were free. And every prisoner's door was opened up and they were free.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You obviously have never been trapped in a situation that looked like it was going to destroy you. And then suddenly have God delivered you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
When Paul and Silas were in that prison, they sang praises to God. And it was the mighty hand of the Lord that came down and broke those prison bonds and set them free. Come on, somebody, come on. Lift up and glorify the name of Jesus. 13 years ago when I had a heart attack in my sleep on a Saturday night, it was the mighty hand of God that held me up when I went and preached that Sunday morning. And for 12 weeks after that, I was weak as I could be. I didn't even go to the doctor. They got real mad at me about that. Who would think? But I just knew I wasn't dead. I was weak as all get out. I could barely move. Renee had to drive for 8 weeks, but I got up behind that pulpit and I brought the word. Let me tell you something, saints. When I moved behind that pulpit, the weakness went away. While I was standing behind the holy desk, the anointing of God came over me and I preached the word like I'm preaching to you right now. It didn't slow me down one little bit, but just a minute that preaching was over. Somebody had to help me down.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Yes. Thank you,
it was the mighty hand of God that put me in that pulpit. And when the enemy thought that he was going to destroy me with my kidneys, and my kidneys shut
come
down,
on,
both of them died.
Uh-huh. Come on, man. Come on.
And I was walking around not knowing any better.
All right.
And I went to the doctor because I was having a few complications.
Uh-huh.
And because I was there, I didn't act like there was much wrong.
Right.
They didn't care. They did some blood tests, and when they got the blood test back the next afternoon, they had all kinds of connections in that doctor's office. And said, what are you doing? What? Hey, they called me get to the living room, they were calling Renee. They said, Miss Taylor, are y'all on the way to the hospital? She said, what do you mean? She said, well, we just called him and told him y'all had to get to the hospital. She said, well, he's just now coming through the door. And they said, well, get him to the hospital now. I said, they want me to go to the hospital for some reason. So we was on the way to the hospital, and before we got there, they called me again. They said, Mr. Taylor, are you at the hospital? I said, well, I'm just a few hundred feet away from it. They said, you need to go on into the emergency room. They're not going to wait for you. You don't have to wait. They've got your information. They got your numbers. They got your name. They will take you right in. I said, okay. You know, I felt all right.
Yeah.
Right up until they put me in that hospital bed, started hooking me up to a bunch of tubes and needles. Then all of a sudden, I was feeling bad. And then the next day, my doctor came in. Now, this doctor, he is the doctor who wrote the textbook for doctors in school on kidneys and renal systems, Dr. Anwar Hydrick. He wrote the book for the students to learn. He was my doctor. He came in and he said, Reverend Taylor, both your kidneys are all but dead. One of them is 100% dead, and the other one's only working at 5%. You're going to be on dialysis the rest of your life unless I can get you on a kidney transplant list. I said, no, I'm not. And he looked at me, are you being belligerent? Are you being ambivalent? Or what's the word? Ambivalent? One of them words where I'm not being agreeable. And I said, no, not at all. I just know too many people that know how to pray.
Amen.
And I have seen God heal blind eyes, deaf ears. I've seen God wake the dead. I've watched it happen.
Glory to God.
Yes. And these kidneys, that ain't nothing to God. He said, well, okay, fine. He said, you go right ahead and keep your faith, but until you see the kidneys start working again, until they're healed, you will do what I say. I said, that's all right. They put me on dialysis 3 times a week, 4 hours a day. I got so weak, they were pulling fluid and pulling fluid and pulling fluid off of me. I got so small and so weak that it got to the point that I felt so bad on dialysis, I thought, well, I won't really deal with the kidney failure. And it's to the point now that if they ever tell me I got to go on dialysis again, I don't know if I'm going to do it. But do you know what happened? It was the mighty hand of God that came down on a Sunday night in November, right here in this altar. The mighty hand of God touched my body, and the next day they told me they didn't understand why, but my kidneys had started functioning again, and I am still working and walking on that. I'm still walking in the victory that it was the mighty hand of God that came down. When the enemy tried to kill you, he tried to destroy you. He tried to kill you in the night. He should have got you during the night because there's joy in the morning. Come on, somebody. We've been endure for a night, but there's joy in the morning. Things come against us in this world, in this society, and we face great trial and tribulation this very minute. I'll tell you what I love about that. Even though there's a great deal of tribulation taking place out in society, God's mighty hand is resting on the faithful. God's mighty hand is resting upon the Haven of Hope Church. As long as you're faithful to Him, He'll remain faithful to you. Come on, somebody. Are you blessed by the mighty hand of God in your life? When the enemy comes in like a flood, I'm going to back up. I'm going to say it like I want to. When the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it. Like a flood, the mighty hand of God will come down and wreak havoc in all His plans. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. All those who rise up against you shall fall. I will not fear what the devil may bring me because I'm a servant of the Most High God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
There was an evangelist. I heard this story in a church revival service. The evangelist knew another evangelist who was, if I'm not mistaken, he was an American Indian. And he was in the mountains here in North Carolina holding a tent revival back in the 50s or 60s, I think it was. And he went into one of the most corrupt counties in North Carolina where the officials were more crooked than the crooks. They had their hands in everybody's pocket. And they had all kinds of criminal activity going on, sponsored by the government criminals.
Yes, amen.
That don't sound familiar, does it? And this evangelist come and set up his tent in town, in the county seat, and set up his tent and had a revival, and people was getting saved. sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, delivered from that sinful lifestyle. They were getting set free, and everybody's money was getting funny. Because all them dope addicts and all them criminals and all them sinful people quit spending their money on sin. Because they had been saved by the blood of God. They had been touched and delivered by the mighty hand of the Lord. Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
And when this happened, these corrupt government officials got angry with this preacher. So they told the sheriff, go arrest him and put him in jail. And we'll find some reason to keep him locked up. So the sheriff said, well, I'm going to send my chief deputy to go get him. I don't want to have nothing to do with it. Because people had been hearing about the miracles that had been taking place in that service. About hands being restored. About limbs growing to meet the other ones. About blind eyes open. About dead people waking up. About the power of the Holy Ghost moving when this man preached and when he prayed. And that sheriff, he didn't want nothing to do with it. So he sent his chief deputy, round up the boys and go arrest this preacher. So they went out to the tent where the preacher was, and he was standing out in the middle of this area where his tent was. And this sheriff's deputy, the chief deputy, walks up and looks at it. And when, you know, there's some preachers, when you look at them, you can see the anointing of God in their eyes. And you realize at that point, if you ain't got God in you, you don't want nothing to do with him. This chief deputy walks up and looks at that man of God, and he turns to his other deputy and says, y'all go arrest him, y'all go cuff him. None of them would. As a matter of fact, it was one or two of them laid their badges and guns down right there and walked away. He said, they won't want to do it. So the chief deputy says, all right, fine. I'll lock you up. You've been arrested, sir. And the evangelist said, for what crime? He said, we'll let you know when you get there. He said, let me tell you something, mister. The evangelist spoke. And had to be the anointing of God come over him. Had to be something in his eyes. Because when he spoke, he looked at that chief deputy and he said, God told me to tell you that if you lay one finger on me, he's going to melt your brain in your head right where you are. That chief deputy stopped, looked at him, turned around to the other deputy, said, go put your cuffs on him. Nope. Not one of them. The chief deputy goes back to the sheriff and tells him, he ain't coming. Why did he? I ain't touching him. You can go get him. Sheriff said, I ain't going to get him. We're going to leave him alone. You know why they left that man alone? Because they were afraid of the mighty hand of the Lord coming down upon him for touching God's prophet, for touching God's man. He is my glory. The sinful should fear the mighty hand of the Lord because they should fear hell and they should fear coming against God's anointed.
That's right.
But the believer, saints of God, listen to me now, the believer's got nothing to fear. Because he is my King. He is my Lord. He is my Redeemer, my Savior. He is my Provider. He is my Healer. He is my Champion. He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He is the Son of God, Most High. Hallelujah! We don't need to fear him. He is my glory and the lifter of my head.
Yes, he is.
Psalm 24:7 says, lift up your heads over your gates and be ye lift up. The everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Amen. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. Yes. The Lord mighty in battle. It is the God that we serve who has the mighty hand of God that will come down upon every situation within your life, set you free, and deliver you.
Praise God. Amen. Thank you.
There have been things this week, there have been things this past week, and the weeks before that, that have tried to convince me that the enemy was going to destroy the work here. And when it started looking like that for other people, the Lord said, wait a minute.
Come on, man.
Wait a minute. Let me tell you, I told you last week, you ain't caught God by surprise.
Amen.
The enemy's trials and the enemy's weapons, they ain't caught God by surprise either. He knew it was going to happen back at creation. Come on, somebody.
Come on. Yeah.
We serve a mighty God.
Yes,
the Lord's beginning to deal with me. There's things in this house that he's dealing with me about, but there's things about somebody watching my live stream. You've got some bad news. I keep hearing health, and I keep seeing job. And while I'm sitting here trying to decide whether or not they're having trouble with their job or having trouble with their health, the Lord says they're having trouble with their health that's affected their job. Somebody's listening by live stream right now. Something to do with your health is giving you bad news on your job. Oh my goodness, and there's not just folks on the live stream, there's folks here. Hallelujah. I will lift up my eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. Come on, somebody. There's folks in here, you're sitting in the middle of situations that make you wonder how you're going to come out of it. Folks sitting in here, and I know you're here. Folks by live stream, same thing. Folks on the radio. You're trying to figure out. Let me tell you something. You ain't got to be the one doing the figuring. You got to be the one doing the trusting. You got to be the one doing the yielding. You got to be the one saying to God, Lord, I belong to you. Whatsoever you allow to happen is in your will. Whatsoever happens to me, I know that you've got your hand on me. I know that you've got your hand under me. And I know that nothing can take me out of your hand. Come on, somebody.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Whoever it is watching my live stream, I want us all to pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask your touch upon this person, dear God, watching my live stream, who needs your touch in their body and in their employment. Move upon them, dear God, and set them free and deliver them. If that's you, if you will believe, if you will give yourself to God, if you will yield your heart and soul to Him right now, you will be set free and delivered. You're going to receive news in the very, very near future that contradicts the last report. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. We don't need to believe the report of them that don't know, but we need to believe the report of Him that knows all and can do all. If you will yield your heart to Him, if you will give yourself to Him, if you will trust Him and quit trying to rely on your own understanding, you're going to be set free. And if it's you, when you get set free, I need you to contact us. Because the Bible teaches us that we defeat the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. If the Lord sets you free and delivers you, you need to glorify.
Friends, we always like to end our service, each service, with this sinner's prayer. And if you would repeat after me, we use the right hand and use each finger on the right hand to signify and to pray with each of these parts of this prayer. If you'll repeat after me, Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know you're the Son of God. I know you died on the cross for my sin, and you were raised again on the third day. Come into my heart and forgive me, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for making me a Christian. In Jesus' name. Our worship music service is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803, and our CCLI Streaming Plus license, A20958810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., with fellowship dinner following the service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night, Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m., and Wednesday night youth church with the flood at 7:30 p.m. or on our Facebook page, Haven of Hope Church. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church, Hope for the Hopeless in a Hopeless World. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.